Ok, ciao, buongiorno, come stai Marco?
Ciao Martin, buongiorno. Molto bene, molto bene. Tu come stai?
Sì, molto bene, anch'io. Sì, grazie.
Good, good. You back from your little trip to Italy? Did you manage to use some numbers?
I used quite a few numbers, in different places that I actually thought I would do. I seem to use the number I used the most was the room number. I didn't realize just how much I was going to have to charge to my room. But it was good. And every time I dropped the car in the garage, I also had to, in the parcheggio, I also had to tell them my room number. So I got quite good at saying 419.
It's a very random number, but it's great that you're now very confident in saying
For the rest of
that.
my life, I will remember that number.
Well, that's so if you go to Italy, basically you should make sure you get a room number you never have. So if you go like 1,000 times, you can know all the numbers, up to 1,000.
This is a fantastic. I'm going to suggest that to my wife directly after this, and we'll get something else booked immediately. Yeah, I like that. That's good. Good. How was Milano? Because you were back in Milano.
Oh yeah, both of us were in Italy actually last week. I was good. It was good. It's spring is starting, so the weather is better than usual. Milan is not famous for weather. We're famous for other things, but yeah, it was
Like
pretty good.
calcio.
Like calcio, yeah. That's my team is doing really good in the Champions League and really bad in the league. So I'm not sure if it's a good time or a bad time, but I don't complain for now. We'll see.
Excellent. Well, this is episodio quattro, so we're
See.
really storming through this. It's quite exciting. And we talked about coming back and doing some more numbers. Because there were things we didn't get to last time, like years.
Good. Okay, so let's pick up where we left off. Where were we? We were talking about years. So like thousands, number with thousands. And I think we were counting up to 100, and then we quickly said how to say 1,000 and 2,000 and so forth. So if you were to take a wild guess, Martin, and anybody listening, how would you say 2023? What is the way you would think to say that number?
It's a great question because we say it in two different ways. We do say 2023, but we also are very good at saying 2023. So I don't know whether it's the same in Italian, but if I say 2023, that will be 2023 or 2023. Is that right?
2023, 2023. I would say both work when you're connecting thousands with smaller numbers. I would personally say 2023 without the A, but that's the same.
Okay, 2023. But would you also say 2023?
Okay, so we now sort of start to do it a little bit because, a lot of English influence there. But it's not really something we do regularly. Like in the 90s, we would maybe say 92, 92, but we would never say 1992, 1992.
You're alienating a large part of our audience there by going back to the 90s. Some of them may not even been alive then.
I was barely alive myself, so that makes sense. But no, what I'm saying is that in the 2005, 2010, we didn't shorten them yet. I
Right.
think it was the same in English, right? Because it was 2005, I just say the whole thing. But as we get in the 20s, then we get to shortening. So for us, the way we shorten, we would rather say 23 than 2023. That's just more Italian, in my opinion.
And would you say anni 20 or anno 23 or just say 23?
Well, you could say both, I would say, but usually è l'anno 2023, è l'anno 23. No, just 23. Although honestly, we just say the full year usually, and with thousands as the complete way would be 2023, è l'anno 2023. Or if you want to be quicker, è il 23. It is the 23.
Right, well, that seems quite straightforward. It's just being able to quickly in your head think of how to say 2023, isn't it? I guess it gets easier.
It does because most people at this point, as you say, born in the year 2000, And those that are not are born in the year, 1990 something or 1980, 1970. So let's give it a quick shot. How would you say, for example, I don't know, 1992, as we were saying, how would you combine those numbers to say that? That's a bit harder.
Well, I would say mille, novecento, novantadue.
Molto bene, yeah, 1992. You can say 92 as said. For those longer numbers, then just saying the last two numbers, the last two digits is fine. But for these shorter years now in the third millennia, we tend to say the whole thing. It's not too long yet.
All right, well, let me test you then. What was the year of the formation of the Italian Republic?
Oh geez, the Republic. It was probably the 1946, and I'm never sure about that. I would cut this off if I'm wrong, but it was 1946.
No, leave it in. Leave it in. Every episode, perhaps we should have a question like, what year was the Great Fire of London? And yeah, one of us have to answer.
Absolutely, it's always very tricky because with the independence of independence or the end of fascism, it was across several years, so you never sure if it was 45 or 46 or the constitution and then the election, and then it was very very confusing. So I 50-50, I take this out if I'm wrong.
Maybe your old history teacher will listen to this episode and send you a message.
Hi. But yeah, for those older years, for example, if you think about the wars, we often use shortened versions for the dates. For example, the First World War for us was shorter because we joined later. We say il 15 18, 1518,
Okay.
because saying the whole day would be insanely long. And the same for the Second World War, it's ended in 45, è finita nel 45, again for us, or for us a bit earlier technically, but so for those longer numbers, it's more common to you just use the last two digits.
Okay, right. Well, that's great. I'm glad we've talked about that. I guess another time that we talk about dates is then when we talk about people's birthdays. I think that's always an interesting one, and then asking how old somebody is as well is another thing, isn't it?
Good. Oh yeah, we never did that. That's
No.
good. That's good. Okay. So yeah, let's start with the second one. I think that's maybe more common. How would you ask how old someone is, Martin?
Well, if I was, I wouldn't ask somebody how old they were unless I knew them. So I would say quanti anni hai, quanti anni
Good.
hanno,
Yes. Yes. You always ask how many years do you have in Italian. It's not about how old you are. And the answer is going to be the same. I have so many years as opposed to I am this many years.
Yeah, and then you have to be careful, excuse me, as an English person, to not pronounce the H.
Right, yes, absolutely. We've never talked about this, but we'll talk about verbs later on. We're discussing this. The H in Italian only changes the sound if it's coming after a C or a G, so it becomes a K or a G sound. But in the verb avere, the present tense, we have a lot of H, O, I, A, and then anno, but we don't hear it. It's only there purely to distinguish when you write those words from identical words without the H. So do not say that, right?
So I would say, oh, 21 anni.
Exactly. O 21, as we were
21,
saying last time.
of
Yeah,
course,
we often
yes.
chop that letter.
Okay, oh,
Yeah.
21 anni o 28 anni.
Very good. O 28 anni, o 21 anni, o 32 anni. It's not, anything else is usually without that elision, but 21, 28, 31, 38. Yes, we do chop off that letter.
Very good. Right. Okay. So we know how to ask how old somebody is, and we know how to answer them because you say, oh, I have, and then the number and Annie for years. What about the dates then? If we ask when somebody's birthday, what's birthday, Marco?
Good. That's good. A lot of people might think it's anniversario because in many other languages that is, but that just means the anniversary, as in the same day that something happens. So in Italian we say compleanno for birthday. Try and say that again.
Compleanno.
Good. And literally means to complete the year. Compiere is to complete, to fulfill, and then anno is, as we know, year. So you're not asking for someone's birthday, but the day in which their year is full. That makes sense.
Yeah, I've never thought about it like that before, but absolutely it does. Yeah, compleanno. So, il mio compleanno.
Exacto. And then we would say the date, for example. If it was February the 10th, how would you say the whole thing?
Il mio compleanno è. Now then, I'm guessing I'm going to say il next, aren't I? So, il mio
Sì.
compleanno è il 10 febbraio.
Very good. Il mio compleanno è il 10 febbraio o il 10 di febbraio. That D is kind of optional.
Okay, right. Right, so you can use of in there like we would in English if we didn't.
Yeah, you can. And most of these small things in Italian are kind of like you can say them or not. It's very clear what you're saying. And very often you will see that I'm thinking, if you ask me which is better, I'm thinking because I don't know. And I don't even realize if you say the other one. In this case, I would say it's exactly the same. If you want to be very complete, that D is the correct way to go. The 10th of February as opposed to the 10th February, il 10 di febbraio, but it's all the same.
Okay, that's great. So if I said, il tuo compleanno è quando?
Il mio compleanno è il 2 di gennaio.
2 di gennaio. Okay, so that's right at the start of the year then.
That is, everybody is still either on vacation, drunk, or otherwise forgets. So that's a very sad day to have a
Oh,
birthday.
poverino.
Good, poverino. Very nice. Did someone take that in Naples, or did you study? That would be a problem.
I don't know, it just came into my head. I don't know where from.
Good, good. Poverino is a very nice word. Yeah, it means poor you. It's kind of a very pitiful expression. Usually don't throw an insult saying poverino. We tend to be a bit more harsh, but obviously, you know.
Right, okay, so apart from birthdays then, are there, it's I know from, and I'm sure you do as well, from being in Italy last week over Easter. Wow. Easter is a very celebrated time of year in Italy. So,
Absolutely.
are there other? Like, obviously, we have them in the UK, and I'm sure all around the world, everybody's got their own individual days that are big. What are the big festival days in Italy?
Yeah, definitely Pasqua, Easter, as you said. Try and say it.
Pasqua.
Very good.
Would that be with a capital P?
Good. Usually spelled with a capital P, and usually that's the case for all religious celebrations. If you write it with a small P, nobody's really gonna care. But usually with a capital P, yes.
Okay.
And it's with a Q, so Pasqua. Pasqua. So yeah, Pasqua is definitely a big one. Carnevale is another important one.
Carnevale.
Yeah,
Okay.
exactly.
Quando è Carnevale?
Carnevale, wow, you're asking me very hard questions today. I think it's 40 giorni prima di Pasqua. I think it's 40 days before Easter. It's Carnival, right? So it should be like something to do with the solar year or the lunar year. I have no idea. But this year was end of February, for example. And it's very famous in Venice. Among others, where they just dress up. It's our Halloween, basically. Although it's a bit different, but we dress up. We put on funny costumes and such.
Right, okay. Carnevale and Pasqua, then we've learned. And obviously,
Yeah.
Christmas is going to be a big one. That's N Natale.
Sì, Natale, and it's a masculine noun. We're not sure since the E. So il Natale. And maybe I would say the other big one is the August the 15th. Not as big, but it's kind of the mid-August or mid-summer sort of thing, celebration. And we call it Ferragosto.
Ferragosto.
Okay, yes. Not entirely sure what the meaning of Ferragosto is. Ferro would be iron, although I suspect got nothing to do with the celebration. And it's basically just August the 15th. It was born as a Catholic celebration, obviously, but today people don't really know anymore why it's celebrated. So it's just a normal celebration.
It's just an excuse to have a day off work and celebrate with family. Festeggiare.
Festeggiare, very good. In Italy, traditionally, we take the entire month of August off. So that's not really a problem. Although now it's not happening anymore, but traditionally, yeah, if you went to Italy in August, it was not like if you went to Milan in August, there was nobody around. Now it's not anymore that case, but yeah, that's
Right,
we're good at taking vacations.
can I ask you then, because I've got a friend in Venezia, and she was telling me about La Befana. Who's La Befana then?
Oh, that's a very good story. And I like stories. So the celebration is called Epifania.
Epifania.
Good. Yes. And that would be January the 6th. It's another Christian celebration. It would be the day in which the three magis arrived, to wherever it was. I forgot the city.
Right,
But
so that was the that's what in English then we call that the Epiphany.
oh, yeah, that's the same idea. And it's
Yeah.
also the same in Italian as in English. It can be a word for something that you remember all of a sudden, right? It's the
An
same
idea.
thing.
Yeah.
It's like un'epifania or avuto un'epifania. I had an epiphany.
Right.
But the thing is, during fascism, it was we wanted everything Italian, no? And Santa Claus is not Italian, obviously. So they came up with this old lady, La Befana, that would bring candies and little gifts to kids so that they try to replace Santa, because again, Santa was not Italian. So yeah, that obviously is not the case anymore. Just fascism is over and all that, but we still kept the old lady because she was cute and we like candies.
She was cute. I heard she was a witch.
She was a witch. I was we have a lot of very funny stories and songs about that. She was a witch, but at this point I think she kind of became like an old that nice old lady. She will give you a call if you misbehaved, but besides that, she's cool. And usually the coal is made of sugar anyway, so it's fine.
So actually, people make coal out of sugar.
They do.
Wow. Okay, that's good. I like that.
Dangerous for your teeth, but yeah, tasty.
Another thing that I heard that was because you have because Father Christmas you call him Babbo Natale, yeah?
Babbo Natale, yes, Father Christmas, correct.
Babbo Natale, which is great. And I love how we have different things because also you don't have snowmen, you have snow dolls, don't you?
Okay, we say pupazzo di neve. Try
Yeah.
and say that.
Pupazzo di neve.
Very good, very good. Pupazzo with two Z's, two Z's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the translation of pupazzo would be, doll, plush could be another translation. So it's definitely not a man, it's something, without life.
Yeah, I can't think of anywhere else in the world that I've come across that. I'd love it if somebody who was listening to this knew of something. I've not researched it
Oh.
or anything, but it's just something that jumps out at me. It's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, languages have these small differences and you kind of notice and then you're like, why? Why do you do that? So I agree, that's interesting. Never thought about that. Pasolini.
Great. Yeah, and maybe while we're talking about that, we should throw it out against people that if anybody is listening and does want to get in touch with us and perhaps suggest topics or ask us questions about things that we've already said, how should they get in touch, Marco?
Oh, that's a great question. Obviously, they can get in touch with me on, any platform then that they found me, they know me from. So that's, send me messages, I read and reply to everything. Or otherwise, we decided to take control of the hashtag Italian Diamo podcast on Twitter. So if you tweet at us with that hashtag or something very close to that, so I will do some check. We will find your messages and read them. Any suggestion is welcome. So hashtag Italian Diamo podcast on Twitter.
That's great. That's really good. Great. Well, I don't know whether you'd got anything else that you wanted to bring up in this ex in this episode.
Well, we said about anniversario, which is anniversary, so the same day that something happened. We have another important date in Italy, which is onomastico.
Ah, I've never heard of that. Onomastico.
Yes, onomastico. Again, Italy is traditionally a very Christian. I'm sorry, I say the same thing over and over again, but it's the case. It's a very Christian country, so we have a lot of that.
No, it's good. You keep repeating things. Again, these are all t-shirt ideas, so this is great.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's hard not to say that Italy is a very deeply culturally Christian country. And onomastico is basically the day in which your saint is celebrated. So, for example, me being Marco, I have an I'm named after a saint, just San Marco, and that would be April the 25th, which, fun fact, is also the day in which we celebrate the liberation from the fascists and the Nazis. So you were asking me about the Republic before. It's not the same day, but it's close enough.
I don't think there is a Saint Martin, is there?
Well, I don't know about Martin, but definitely in Italian we have Martino, which would be the counterparty. I guess it's I don't know what the day is, but if you look up on an Italian calendar, you will find San Martino. You will know that your onomastico is on such and such date. We usually don't get gifts on that day, but maybe a little cake or a little message from your friends is fairly commonplace.
Right, that's great. Definitely, I'm going to look that up. It's just another excuse for a celebration, isn't it?
Always, always. We're good at celebrating in Italy. That's one of the things we're best at. When it comes to work, we're not the best, but at celebration, we're pretty good.
That's great. Brilliant. While we were there, actually, yeah, we talked about for English people, obviously, Spanish and Italian are quite a similar language. And there are, you can, I mean, obviously, you can see the Spanish, the Italian, you can see all of this in English as well, Latin like derivation, I suppose, and same with French. Because we've visited Spain quite a few times, it's quite difficult sometimes, or quite easy to say gracias by mistake to people instead of saying grazie. And also, I heard my son a couple of times saying por favore instead of per favore, if I please. And I kind of wondered at the time, I thought, I wonder if, is this something that you should apologize for? Or will people be generally very understanding and think, well, do you know, at least they're trying? How would that be understood?
Well, that absolutely depends quite a bit on the city, on the person, and whatnot. Generally, touristic cities will be less patient with you. So if that happens in Rome, they don't necessarily care. They just want to do it quick. So they may just switch to English because that's faster for them. It's just going to be easier. But generally speaking, what you have to understand is that Italian is not a very spoken language outside of Italy. So if you go to like Spanish, you have a billion people speaking Spanish and French, same, English, same. For us, it's barely anybody outside of Italy speaks Italian. It's a few people in Switzerland, and found out that in Albania, back in the 90s, they used to see a lot of Italian TV. So some people in Albania speak Italian fluently for whatever reason. But besides that, nobody speaks Italian. So we love when someone is trying. So even if your Italian is very bad, usually people will be very understanding and very happy that you're trying, and we will try to help you out and be patient and not switch to English, which is kind of the annoying thing. When you try to speak Italian, people switch to English and you
Yeah.
just completely lose your confidence. That's the worst thing that they can
I
do.
found that quite a lot of times, and I tried to respond by continuing to speak Italian. And I think some people, like let's say in the hotel, understood after a while that I wanted to try and speak in Italian where possible.
I will share with you a little tip how to avoid that. If they keep switching to English, say that you do not speak English, and say a few words in German or some language that you assume they will not be able to speak, and then they will stick to Italian because then they have no shot. Like that happened to me quite a lot when I was in South America, and I was just my Spanish was not good, and people started to speak to me in English, and I just had to say, I don't speak English. I understand what you're saying. Speak Spanish while you're speaking English. That works. People feel very guilty, and they will not switch anymore.
That's great. Good. I hope everyone who's listening are picking up lots of tips.
Absolutely. The thing is, learning a language, and people may be a little bit less interested than you in having you speak their language properly. So you kind of have to, pressure them and manipulate them into speaking the language with you. Sometimes that's easy because people are very enthusiastic. Sometimes it's not easy, and then you kind of have to go the extra mile to make sure that they have no shot at switching.
Very good. Excellent. Well, is that a good time for us to wrap up this episode then?
I would say so. There was a lot of talk about important dates, so let's not overdo it.
Great. What we're going to talk about next time?
That's a good question. Well, if anybody has any suggestion, obviously they're welcome to say that again. Hashtag Italian Diamo Podcast on Twitter, or send me a message, or Martin if you know him. Otherwise, you were talking to me about sometimes it's interesting to be able to use polite words and how polite phrases can be used in specific contexts. So I think that's something that could be useful and interesting. What do you think, Martin?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And I think especially when you're walking into shops and things like and asking for things, so maybe we could include the two things together there.
Absolutely. So to avoid saying por favore next time that that someone goes to Italy, and make sure that you're able to say very nicely using conditionals and subjunctives and
Wow.
all those funny things.
Wow. Okay, let's not get ahead here.
We'll make sure it's not too much, but
Yeah.
yeah, I would say that's interesting, and that's something that people need to say quite a lot.
Fantastico. Okay, Marco, grazie mille.
Grazie a te, Martin, e grazie a tutti. Thanks to everybody following us. E ci vediamo mercoledì prossimo. Well, ci sentiamo, I guess.
Ci sentiamo mercoledì prossimo.
Molto bene.
Arrivederci.
Ciao, Martin, a
Ciao.
presto.